This afternoon, we'll be dealing with the topic of the necessity of prayer. And for that, we'll turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and we'll read verses 1 through 14. In particular, it's going to be verse 1 that stands out, and that the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which we'll refer back to a number of different times this afternoon. So Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, as we will see, prayer is part of the greatest part also of our thanksgiving. Let's then also sing about thanksgiving to God for all that he has done. Psalm 116, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We'll now turn to Scripture as it's summarized in the Confessions in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45. We get to the last part of the Catechism, which is dealing with prayer. And so the Catechism asks the question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed Himself in His Word, for all that He has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery, so that we may humble ourselves before God. Third, we must rest on this firm foundation that, although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this particular Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism starts with an important question. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? But embedded in that question is that assumption. The assumption that prayer is necessary for Christians. Maybe that leaves us with some questions, like, of course, the one that the Catechism asks. Why? Why exactly is prayer necessary? But maybe even in the back of our mind is like, well, what kind of necessity is this? Saying that something is necessary can mean different things. And this is why start studying the topic of prayer. Quite a few other ministers or theologians will illustrate this necessity. And they'll do it this way. They'll say, prayer is to faith what breath is to life. They compare prayer to breathing. What breath is to life, this is what prayer is to faith. Really impressing upon us, like, this is that kind of absolute necessity, you can't go without it. I mean, sure, you can go without it for a little while, right? You can hold your breath for a couple moments, maybe a bit longer than other people. But we can never hold it for that long, and we know that at some point, we're gonna have to breathe again. As soon as we start to hold our breath, right, our body starts to just to scream for oxygen. And prayer is necessary just as breathing is necessary. And looking at it that way, then the question, you know, why is prayer necessary for a Christian will almost seem kind of silly. Like, it is that kind of question of like, well, like, why is breath important to you? But maybe that also shows what exactly the struggle is and why it's also good to look at this question and its necessity. Because we take breathing for granted and we do it all the time, even unconsciously, but we're likely all the same, and that prayer may be a struggle. I mean, we maybe have set times each day, we have our meal, and we pray. But maybe that's easy to slip from our routines. And maybe it's also just one of these aspects of the Christian life, that you struggle with prayer. That we generally tend to be people who try to hold our breath for longer than we should. That we may have set prayers, but at times that to get that deep, deep breath, to make the most of prayer, that is a constant struggle for many of us, likely. And for that reason, answering the question why prayer is necessary can help us address those struggles, but also at the same time, as we think about just how necessary it is, be that encouragement to embrace prayer as breathing, realizing that we can't do without it. And so our theme this afternoon is just that point: prayer is necessary. And since I'm kind of hammering that point, there may be some repetition, but I tried to at least five different points that we're looking at this afternoon. For those who do take notes and help by a little bit of points that we're working through, first, that prayer is necessary because it's about a relationship that we have with God. It's about a relationship. Secondly, because it's a sign of spiritual life. It's a sign of spiritual life. Third, because prayer is personal, just as our faith is personal. And fourth, that it shows our reliance on God. We rely on God in all of our life. And lastly, because prayer puts our faith into practice. Prayer puts our faith into practice. And before we get to those five, though, our starting point really has to be that our need for prayer is always God's own command. He calls us to pray. I pray continually. It's two words that are found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. God commands us to pray. Jesus himself in his ministry encourages us with all that he can to pray. Do you notice that? As he gave this parable in Luke 18, it started with, he wanted to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Jesus himself saying, pray. Don't give up. Pray always. Both Father and Son impress upon us that encouragement to keep on praying. They invite us to seek them in prayer, to call upon them in prayer, to do that continually and not give up. Their concern for our prayer life should get us to be honest, to look at our own prayer life. And how we value the importance of prayer, how we value prayer, because God says it is necessary and keep on doing it. And the first reason why it is necessary is provided in the Catechism, because it says, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. And we've likely heard this many times, maybe many sermons that have gone through this Lord's Day, and yet it may just actually strike you once again this afternoon. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. Is that how you value prayer? Like if you had a survey and said, what is the most important part of the Christian life? What is the best way in which you can show your thankfulness to God? Would you say, prayer, number one, no discussion? No? It's not, how you give up your time in serving others. It's not the money that you donate. Yes, you do your daily tasks and your daily work to his glory, work of thankfulness. You can attend every worship service, and certainly prayer is part of worship. You can go through the list and you can think of 1,000 different ways to serve God and show your thankfulness. And yet what the catechism really just tells us, like, if it's not accompanied by prayer, what does it really mean? Do any of these things, and you don't do it with prayer, what does it really mean? Maybe this sounds like an exaggeration. Maybe we wonder, like, how? How could prayer be possibly so important? And yet, if you apply this just to any other relationships we have, you know just how true this is. Right? Try as a family, try as a couple to do nice things for each other, but, you know, never talk. Have no communication. It may work for a while because, well, you know each other and you know what you like and appreciate. You may know each other's routines and how you can help each other out. But we all know that at some point the lack of communication will kill us. And there'll be misinterpretation. And people will be out of sync. And things will just kind of grind to a halt. Yes, even if we still like kept and stuck to it, we were just busy, busy, busy and trying to do the good things that we know other people like and need. But if you didn't spend time together as a couple, as a family, you know that relationship wouldn't run well. That you need to spend time together. Sometimes that is even more important than the things that you can do for one another. Because when you stand still for a minute, take the time, sit down with one another, talk to each other, you actually show, I cherish you. I enjoy you. Instead of just enjoying busy, being busy for you. And this is what prayer is about. And we likely all know that Bible story that we find also in Luke of the 10 lepers who are healed. You know, they all cry out to Jesus saying, heal us. And then Jesus does, and he sends them, go to the priest, because that's what they had to do. So the priests examine them and then declare them to be clean. But then in that story, what stands out is that only one of these 10 men actually comes back to give thanks and basically cry out to God in thankfulness, to praise Jesus for what he has done. And maybe it seems odd, right? Like Jesus himself asking, like, well, what about the other 9? Weren't they also healed? But it was only they're just doing what Jesus had told them, to go to the priests. But only one realized that instead of being busy with what Jesus had told him, he had to go back and enjoy what Jesus had done, show his thankfulness, and cherish him. And so often, if we don't actually do all that we wish to do and desire to do and actually end up doing for God, we don't do it for prayer, with prayer, we're just like the others. Just like the other lepers. And I think this starting point in answering the why of the necessity of prayer reveals then both the beauty and the difficulty of prayer. It is going to be difficult, and it is maybe something that we struggle with much, because you can't think that it's not hard work. Because you are entering in a relationship with God. He has entered in a relationship with you. And so it does take opening up, being honest and genuine, considering what is on your heart and on your mind and laying it before the Lord and taking time to do that. It is such spiritual work, and we are such unspiritual people. Give us a task to perform. Let us be busy. But don't ask us to slow down and open up and truly seek the Lord. How we often deal with problems, isn't it? Just keep us busy, let's go, and avoid the difficult conversations, let's avoid the difficult time that we have to spend with one another, and just keep on being busy, filling our time. But prayer forces us to take the time to build our relationship with the Lord, that we can't avoid him by just being busy and considering that spiritual. Try to do that, the problem will only grow. And spiritual life will drain and die out, just as it would in any family. But this is then also the beauty of prayer. It's necessary not as a work, not to build merit or get credit with God, but the reflex, just the response of a thankful heart. And really, it is the greatest idea ever, that you may call upon the Almighty God and have true fellowship with Him. This is the purpose for which we were created. And as difficult as it may be, as spiritual work it may be, it comes with that promise of being fulfilling and receiving the most wonderful gifts. It's that second reason the Catechism mentions, moreover, God will give His grace and the Holy Spirit only to those who constantly, with heartfelt longing, ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. Or think about that other parable that Jesus used, saying, keep on praying because God will give you what you need. He will encourage you. He will give His good gifts. Just as in other relationships, it's when we spend time that problems can be resolved. Not just resolved, but also prevented. By being close. And being open. But maybe it's then also helpful to explain what is meant by prayer being spiritual. And the best way is to continue to think of prayer as breathing, then, in light of passages, you know, not just as an illustration, but as passages like Romans chapter 8. For when a child is born, you know, we know like a child is breathing as soon as it has like this first cry. It makes a noise. We know it's alive and it's breathing. Its lungs are working. And then it doesn't stop after that, basically, for most of its life. We hear the first cry. Something analogous is used in Romans 8 also when it comes to our Christian life. We are born again in the Spirit. And what does then the Spirit make us cry? Romans 8, Abba, Father, Lord, I call on You as my Father. And what this comparing it to breath does is stress how necessary it then is. But it also brings out the point that it's not an action, it's not the action as such that's important as the oxygen that we need. Prayer can take different forms in different situations and different stages and circumstances in our lives. Sometimes all we can do is pray a simple prayer. Maybe like my mind can't handle anything else, but I'll pray this and I'll pray it repeatedly. Maybe it's because we're overwhelmed. Maybe it's because a relationship is strained with the Lord. Maybe it is because we know our guilt and we know our shame and we can only be like that tax collector saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I don't dare to ask anything else. Short, rapid breaths to get through whatever it is. But at other times, your prayer may be focused and may be deep. It may be these long breaths, but you know, the point is with breathing is that the point is that you need oxygen and that is what you're getting. Keep that in mind. If you're at a point where you're struggling, don't think that, you know, the one thing that's going to get you through it is going to be long and dedicated prayers. Likely that's not what your focus should be on. The Spirit Himself teaches us to pray, Abba, Father. May that be maybe just your prayer. Father, help me. A shallow breath is still a breath. The point is to keep on breathing. Don't cause more anxiety by trying to force the greatest prayer. Seek the Lord earnestly and trust in Him. But do so earnestly. And that's the other reason why prayer is necessary. It's because, you know, we know our faith in Jesus Christ is personal. So also prayer is also personal. Maybe a slightly different aspect of the necessity of prayer, but it is still there. It's the fact that you have to pray. So what belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? Well, first, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed Himself in His Word for all that He has commanded us to pray. Just as in question answers 1:16, it talked about a heartfelt longing. So in 1:17, it says, you know, we've got to pray from the heart. Sometimes prayer may be done with other people. Sometimes it may be other people that are praying for you. But prayer also has to come from your heart. Let your faith also be personal by making your prayers personal. And consider that what it is when it's just you and the Lord. Right? Those moments may be the most cherished because of the good gifts that God gives in those moments. It may also be the most challenging because it's just you and the Lord. Maybe the most revealing with regards to your heart. That's also why it's necessary. You have to pray. It's not something you can always ask other people to do for you. I mean, they may do it with you. They may intercede for you. But you need to pray and personally have that relationship with the Lord. And that it is your thanksgiving that makes itself known that way. And once again, as soon as you start to consider that point, it's like, yeah, that double-edged sword. There's beauty and there's difficulty to it. The difficulty because who here would dare to be alone with the Lord? You and Him. The one who knows your heart, knows your mind, also knows what you need most. You can't hide how you're really feeling and how you're really doing from Him. And yet, isn't this also exactly the kind of encouragement we need? In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, it's the one who prays from the heart who is justified, who just calls it out as it is. Lord, I need your help. I'm a sinner. It's not about fancy words. It's not about comparison with others. It's not about the performance. It's about what is heartfelt. And as such, as we come to God through Jesus Christ, we also know that it's not 100% true to say that it's only us and the Lord. Because as we come to God, we have those encouragements. As He calls us to pray, as Jesus says us to continue to do so, and we know that Jesus Himself intercedes for us. And the Holy Spirit, too, is the one who helps us to pray. Whenever you come before the throne of grace, you do it with the backing of Christ who's at the right hand and the Spirit who is with you, groaning with groans too deep for words. For that reason, prayer is not about us trying to escape condemnation, of trying to offer something to God that may make up for our failures, but becoming to God in that confidence that we have been accepted and that God is with us in His Son and Spirit to enjoy that fellowship with God. But you also note that what else stands out about the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee is that prayer causes such deep change. Because in the parable, it's the Pharisee that we expect to be that impressive, righteous, religious man because of his appearance, because of his title, because of the zeal for holiness. But in God's eyes and in Jesus' estimation, it's so different. It's the prayer of the tax collector that was from the heart and a genuine seeking God. And it shows us just also how we need to pray and why we need prayer, because we struggle to have that perspective and have the right perspective, not just on this, but on so many other things. Our eyes, our perception needs to change. Our heart needs to change. And a prayer is such an important way in which God changes us through teaching us to pray, to giving us things to pray for and teaching us the things that we really need and what our hearts and our minds should be focused on. That's why we need to pray, because we need to make use of these means of change. And one way in which we change is exactly how the tax collector changed. That prayer teaches us personal humility. And one of the ways in which this is impressed upon us is to consider how prayer is God's gift in the spiritual war that we face. When Jesus went out to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, he removed himself a little bit from his disciples, but he told his disciples and he gave them two commands. He said, watch and pray. Right? The hour of darkness is coming. I'm about to go to the cross. But what you can do is watch and pray lest you fall. Watch and pray. And what prayer does, what true prayer does, is confess exactly what we there find in question and answer 117. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. And this is acutely felt in the battles that we face. We can't do it on our own. Prayer is that cry for help because Lord, we know our sin, we know our misery, and we know our incredible weakness, that we cannot even stand even for a second without you. Prayer is humbling ourselves like the tax collector did. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. By not praying, by trying to holding our breath, we are isolating ourselves from the greatest help that we need. In every battle we face, as we face it each day, prayer is necessary if we wish to stand and follow Christ. And lastly, prayer is necessary because this is where our faith comes into practice, or to put it differently, our theology becomes experience. I think I've used that before. It's how Tim Keller puts it. Prayer is theology becoming experience. It's another way of referring back to a bunch of months ago. We talked about how so often in our own lives there's a gospel gap. We may know Christ did this in the past. He died for us. My sins are forgiven. He will come again in the future. But what does it mean for me today? And prayer kind of answers that. Because it's when we pray that our faith is living and becomes experience. We may believe that God exists, that he has created the world, that he has a claim on us, but it's prayer that then treats God as God. So just think about it. Could you actually confess, you know, God, you exist. We confess our faith every Sunday. You have created all things. You are almighty, all powerful. But if you don't pray to him, then what do you actually mean by saying that he is God? You'd just be practically cutting yourself off from him and leaving life up to yourself. Now, truly, if you try to confess that God exists but don't pray, it really is just living as if he doesn't exist. And if it's all up to you, prayer is putting into practice the firm foundation we have. That thirdly, that confidence, that theology that we have put into practice, that we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as he has promised us in his word. Prayer is about trusting in the sacrifice of Christ. Our prayers, as we present our words, as we come before the Lord, it's not going to be worthy. But Christ is. And we come in his name. And we trust that he is good, as he is revealed in his Son. Trust that he is good and will certainly hear me and give me what I need. Trusting that although he rules the universe, when I call upon him, when I use his name, he is near. He will listen. It's theology in our confession becoming practice and experience. And in a way, this last point encapsulates so much of what we said before. Prayer is necessary because prayer is about a relationship in thanksgiving. That is our spiritual breath, which we personally have to breathe because we each individually dependent on air. And it's the action that puts into practice our confidence that air exists. And that it is exactly what we need. For all of these reasons, prayer is necessary. I already mentioned Tim Keller. That's because a couple of years ago, he wrote a book on prayer. And he introduces in that book also the necessity of prayer with his own lesson on prayer. He says, you know, there was a time in his life when he struggled and his wife was going through health concerns. And at some point one evening, as he remembers this, his wife kind of made this point and put the necessity of prayer this way. He said, you know, if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, this is a prescription, this is the medicine that you need to take daily in order to survive, in order to live, you would be dedicated to taking it every day. I know this is the case because there's probably many of you who do this once a day, twice a day, three times a day with every meal, maybe even more than one pill. And for him, it just dawned on him, that's the case of with prayer. I need it. And I got to take it. I got to do it every day. Twice a day, three times a day, throughout my day. So we need to survive. I need to breathe. We wouldn't think of skipping the medication that we have been given, because our life and certainly our health would depend on it. And so it is with prayer. It is the breath we need. Prayer is the necessary for each one of us. Amen.